It is Monday. Boy, do I love Mondays. The 20th of September, 2021. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. So over the last few weeks on this program, I've shown you a lot of so-called doctors for whom COVID-19 is clearly the best thing to ever happen in their lives. Why is it the best thing? Well, because instead of treating people, they get to indulge their deeper wish, which is to feel superior while watching other people die. There's Mayo Clinic cardiologist Courtney Bennett, whose advice to unvaccinated people that get sick is, please go die. Then there's general surgeon Mark Sawyer from the same hospital, who posts fantasies on Facebook about rhythmically kicking unvaccinated people in the genitalia, getting to deny sick people healthcare and staring into their eyes as they die, telling them it's too late. Now, obviously, when we hear these types of stories, we hope that they're just idiots indulging in a sick fantasy online. We hope that it doesn't really reflect actual policy. But obviously, we have to accept that that's possible. There are grossly incompetent doctors. There are doctors that secretly euthanize their patients or use them as living experiments for quack theories. And yes, there may be doctors out there who deliberately look to deny medical care to people that they don't think are worthy of it. Stacey Lee is a hospital security guard. She's scheduled to be terminated in November, but she's coming on with us right now. She says that she's seen patients being refused treatment at her hospital, and she's also seen those who do get admitted become mistreated once they are there. She wants to blow the whistle on the whole thing. Stacey, thank you so much for coming. So you're there. You work in the hospital. You wrote to this program via email. You said that you've been witnessing this mistreatment, people being denied care. What have you seen?
Well, I work in a hospital that there's actually 67 locations, and I work in three different locations. So I get to see how big city hospital operates and how the smaller city hospital operates. It's actually a Catholic hospital. It's supposed to be a charity hospital. People come in with COVID symptoms, get COVID tested, are COVID positive, and are sent back out the door. This happens all the time. People that are, they'll say, well, you know, you're not sick enough. Literally, you're not sick enough. Come back when you are.
Well, their x-rays. Just to push back on that a little bit. I mean, if you genuinely are not sick enough to be at the hospital, you know, the justification for that would be, look, we're experiencing an influx of people who really need hospitalization here. We just don't have room for you. So to that narrative, you say what?
I say that they've shut down a lot of hospital wings and they are short-staffed already. So the utilization numbers that you're seeing online and in reporting are a farce. Also, the numbers of COVID cases, when we were told we were in a deadly emergency in my town, there was 10 COVID positive cases. We were told that we had to shut everything down, every event, every city building, everything for 10 COVID positive people.
Yeah. And we're seeing the same thing happen in parts of Australia, in the UK. One or two cases pop up and complete tyranny overtakes. We've seen that. So you're a security guard at this hospital. I know that you don't have access to medical records, but you see patients firsthand. You probably overhear conversations. I don't know. You can tell me. But are these patients that are leaving, that are being denied admittance to the hospital, are they getting treatment prescribed to them? Are they getting steroids, antibiotics, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine? Are these people, to your knowledge, getting any kind of treatment that they can administer to themselves at home so that they don't deteriorate and become more ill?
I can tell you one case in particular. The woman was about 50 years old, difficulty breathing, waited 9.5 hours in the emergency room for care. She had very low oxygen saturation, went to the back. They never COVID tested her, okay? So how do they know what they're treating? They took an x-ray, they said it was fine. They sent her out the door with no medication and they never suggested Regeneron infusion at all.
Okay.
She, 2 days later, she's at her home. Her numbers are about 80%, 82% oxygen. They call an ambulance. She goes to a different hospital, same company, different location. they treat her in the ER emergency room waiting room because she was so serious. They had to give her IV. They gave her steroids. But let me say this very clearly. No one is getting HCQ and no one is getting ivermectin. They are told that the doctors can only follow the CDC protocol and cannot deviate from that.
And we know that the CDC protocol is jam them full of remdesivir, throw them on a ventilator, and then they die. So is that what you're seeing also at your hospital? You're talking about patients that are being mistreated and denied care. So we've covered the denying care. How are they being mistreated other than go home until your lips are blue, come back here, get remdesivir, get thrown on a ventilator, be in a medically induced coma, and then die? By the way, away from your families. Is all of that happening?
That's exactly what I was going to tell you. So another case, there's a grandmother. She's had pneumonia since July, on and off. I don't know if it's from wearing a mask or if it's from just, you know, she's had undiagnosed problems. She goes to the ER. They test her. They say, okay, we have to give her vancomycin.
Vancomycin, yep.
Yes, vancomycin, that's it. And they give that to her. Her kidneys start to fail. The daughter goes to this, you know, at the hospital. She's like, she cannot be with her mother. They won't allow her. You know, she wants to talk to the doctors. The nurses say, we can't do anything. Obviously, the doctor's the only ones to give orders, okay? She says, I don't want her on this medicine. It's a clearly side effect that it makes your kidneys fail. I want her on something else. The doctor never called her back all day. She cannot go up there. She can't come inside the hospital. They've told her to leave.
Yeah. And so we're seeing this happen all over the country. Patients are losing track of their own health. They can't make decisions after their own future. Their families are not allowed to. They have advocates, attorneys. I mean, it's like a straight battle in these hospitals to be able to get the care that you want. And it seems to me that hospital administration and money and the bottom line and the NIH and the CDC and the only scientists allowed to have an opinion on the entire face of the planet, which is one Tony Fauci. This is the only thing that is allowed to be considered, and the Hippocratic Oath to do no harm seems to have flown completely out the window, and treating patients on a case-by-case basis and giving them what's best for them so that they can survive, which is what I would think that we would want to do here, instead has been flipped into some sort of a political ideology, hard stance, militarized almost. Zombies with stethoscopes looking at a computer screen and doing only what they are told by this AI that is controlling these programs like Epic. And there's no more common sense reasoning approach to medicine. We've got about a minute left here. What are some things that you... you're a person other than a security guard at the hospital that has witnessed these things. You're a person and an American. Do you have any suggestions for what people can do to avoid this type of situation if they do, you know, unfortunately, end up in the hospital?
Yes. Well, my opinion is the hospitals are the new jails. Okay. They've asked me to basically become a perimeter guard to prevent family from coming into the hospital. So if you have a chance now, get you a POA, power of attorney, on your family members, because that's the one thing they have to honor that. If you have power of attorney over medical decisions and say you get in a car accident, and your husband is trying to get to you and he can't in one of these things, and they swipe you and they say, oh, they're COVID positive. You're going in a room and your husband's going to have zero input on your treatment. And it will be up to the doctors who follow these known protocols that kill people to decide. And you'll have no decision and it will be too late. You know, when you go into the ER, they say, well, we'll call you in a couple hours to let your family know what's happening. Well, in a couple hours, a lot of medical procedures could happen. And you need to be aware of what's going on. And I also believe you should find yourself a good local country doctor out in the middle of nowhere, because they're more accountable face to face. And they're the ones that are prescribing the medicine that people need. Get it proactively. Of course, Dr. Zev Zelenko's protocol, I take it. I suggest everybody takes that, get yourself supplied up and get your goodies, because when it comes to crunch time, it's going to be too late.
Well, I'm sorry that you're having to deal with all of this. And I will tell you this as a God-fearing person, your dismissal, your termination from this environment is probably a blessing in disguise. And it sounds like you have some solutions where you're going to be able to get into your community and help to guide people based on what you have seen firsthand. I mean, we're being vindicated. We have been saying that all of these things are going on. It's almost like the hospitals are the new killing fields or the new ovens where people go to be murdered. I mean, that's what it appears to be to me. And then in secret, as you, as a security guard, just said something very shocking to me. It's a horrific picture for me to fathom, that your job has now turned into keeping people's loved ones, friends, family members away from them as they are completely mistreated and end up being killed by doctors when there are life-saving measures available for them. It's infuriating. Stacey, you're a hero. Thank you so much for coming forward and blowing the whistle on all of this. We really appreciate it. God bless you.
God bless y'all.
It's disgusting what's happening in these hospitals. It's a complete travesty what's happening in these hospitals. And shame on these doctors for doing this. And shame on Reuters and Newsweek and USA Today just a month ago. Stu Peters is a conspiracy theorist for presuming that this is what's happening in these hospitals. And I'm not proud of it. I am sad to report that every single day, firsthand accounts, whistleblowers, security guards, morticians, funeral directors, nurses, doctors coming forward telling you that exactly what they're seeing firsthand is everything that we presumed was happening in these hospitals, and we are being vindicated every single day. They should have to correct the record. They should have to go back and report on all of this. And why is the media not reporting on this? Why is the media not reporting 14,925 people are dead as a result of these vaccines? Why isn't Reuters reporting that? Why isn't Newsweek reporting that? Why isn't USA Today reporting 14,925 people dead? It's disgusting. It's a disgrace. These people are complicit in the deaths of tens of thousands of people. Shame on them. Stacey mentioned one way to stay healthy. She mentioned the Z-Stack protocol, which you can find. Dr. Zelenko, a complete genius, saving 99.9% of high-risk COVID patients and understands the importance of early treatment. How to stay healthy if you're unvaxxed and around these people who have been jabbed. If you're jabbed and you're having vaccine remorse. If you're completely healthy or if you have some symptoms. The Z-Stack protocol. Get it at zstackprotocol.com. Stay healthy. Go to zstackprotocol.com. The Stu Peters Show continues right now. Well, we've had the coronavirus shots being called vaccines for close to 10 months now, and we've seen a staggering number of reports of all kinds of medical problems. Teenage boys are suffering heart damage at six times the rate they experience serious illness from COVID-19. Other people are suffering blood clots, headaches, inflammation, even organ failure, and quite possibly sudden death. Last week, remarkably, we had a nurse on this program who thought she had seen signs that unvaccinated people could be suffering health effects just from being near vaccinated family members or vaccinated patients. Thousands of post-vaccination deaths, 14,925 as of September 7th, have been logged in the CDC's Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, and there's no hope in hell of all of those deaths being investigated. First of all, it's too many deaths, but second, it's because this narrative has been set. The vaccines are good, and everybody will be forced to take them, and if you don't, you'll be stripped of your job, you'll be stripped of your right to travel, the right to go outside if need be. So the CDC and the FDA are not too interested in exploring the possibility that these vaccines could be harmful for huge numbers of people. Now, here's one of the most horrifying stories I have seen throughout this entire vaccine terror campaign of the past year. Jumai Natchi is a healthcare worker in Minnesota. Like millions of other healthcare professionals, she was ordered to get a COVID-19 vaccination or lose her job. So she got the shot in February. But days after getting the vaccine, Jumai felt severe chest pains. Her husband, Philip, raced her to the hospital where, despite the vaccine, she tested positive for COVID-19. Almost immediately, her body was riddled with blood clots, organ inflammation, ischemia, and other medical problems. And in the end, doctors were forced to amputate both of her legs. Absolutely horrific. The CDC investigated the case, deduced that the damage to Jumai's body was due to COVID-19, but they couldn't determine whether the vaccine played a role as well. Oh, well. Better just keep mandating the vaccine for everybody. Jumai and Philip Natchi join me now on the program. Thank you so much for being here. What you're going through, I got to say, I'm just incredibly torn up looking at your photographs, reading the story that I originally saw in the Gateway Pundit. You've been through hell and back as a result of this entire experience. So you were vaccinated. How long after getting this shot did you start to experience complications?
First of all, I want to thank you, Stu, for having us in your program. And I will let Jumai personally share her experience.
Yes. I got the first vaccine was shot.
Can you raise your voice? No?
The first shot was on January 13. And after 3 days, I started my feet, like the veins are coming out. So when my husband saw it, he said, "Hi, will I be able to go to work today?" I said, "I don't think so." So I have to call off from work. And then that went by. And then the second vaccine was February 1st. And after that, the next day, I called my husband when I went to work. The day I got the vaccine, I still went to work. So I called my husband. I said, "It's like I'm feeling some chest pain." And then I continued with my work because I felt maybe this is heartburn. But I continued my work. And then the next day, I can't remember.
When she came back the next day, after taking the vaccine, after telling me that she had the chest pain, in the around morning or so, around 11. So she got the vaccine the day before, then around maybe 9 in the morning, she went to work from the hospital where her clinic where she's working, they have directed her to go there and take the vaccine and giving her all the information to go and take it. So after taking it and so going to work and coming back, the next day, so in the night, she couldn't sleep. She was complaining so much, and I was just trying to help either to give her a pain relief or so. So in the morning, it was tough for her, so she called up for work. And that was the beginning of her problem. 6 days after that, it's getting worse, and then we took her to urgent care. Urgent care, you know, gave her the test and did the test of the COVID, and the next day on the 7th, they said, "Oh, you have COVID." Then follow the CDC regulation guide, and we did keep her aside. And, you know, she continued to kind of, the problem continued to increase. And I said to her, "We have to go to the hospital," because it seems at the beginning that we shouldn't go to the hospital and no medication. We were wondering. I look at her, she's like dying. In fact, the day I took her, she didn't know. When we took her to the emergency, they said to us, "If you have not brought her, she will die." That is 6 days, and that's about how many days? Almost, I took her on the 11th, I think, to the emergency.
Okay.
So that's what happened from emergency to the medical center.
So then your body became riddled with blood clots, and ultimately you have lost both of your legs. They amputated, they took both of your legs.
Both legs and the hands. And also 3 digits of her.
3 fingers.
Fingers. Yeah. And the heart. In the beginning, they told us that the heart even is like it will not come back the same. That was the report because of the devastating impact on her. She went through, ventilator for over 2 weeks. And what we're told that her body is reacting so much that they have to even give her medication to paralyze her. So I was wondering, is that paralyzed medication? What? So I am really confused with all the information here and there. And then in the beginning, when they invited the infection disease department, when they came and they decided to take the issue matter to CDC. And in the beginning, the CDC seems to say that, oh, no, she must have a kind of pre-existing illness. And they came back and did all kind of tests on Jumai.
So does Jumai have any pre-existing conditions or underlying diagnosis?
Never. Okay. Jumai will be married for 27 years, and Jumai has not been hospitalized.
Okay, only so no pre-existing conditions, no underlying diagnosis. Now, Jumai, you were working around COVID patients for the entire pandemic. Is that correct?
Yes, I would say yes, because some people would come to the clinic and...
Right. And you had not experienced any symptoms of COVID-19, no shortness of breath, no symptoms at all. And had you been previously tested for COVID-19?
No.
Okay, because there would have been no reason to. And then you were mandated this vaccine. You were forced to take the vaccine. And all of a sudden, despite being vaccinated, fully vaccinated nonetheless, both shots, you tested positive for COVID.
Yeah, after the shot.
Now, I have not seen any reports worldwide, and I could be wrong, but I personally have not seen any reports of COVID-19 causing blood clots. I have not seen any reports of people losing extremities as a result of COVID-19. This would be the first. And the timing and the proximity to the vaccine shot itself to all of these symptoms and ultimately the loss of your legs and your hand and some fingers seems to be very coincidental, very close in nature. And I don't believe in coincidences. So are you pretty convinced that this is as a result of this shot that you've experienced this life-altering, life-changing handicap?
Yeah, I can say yes, because I was doing okay, going to work. I was healthy, but after the vaccine, and then I started experiencing all this. But I don't know. It's so complicated. This issue is so complicated that sometimes you think like, I don't know how to say it, but I know it's my issue started after the vaccination.
Yeah, and also I try as much as possible to read other articles, a lot of articles of other experts who are well outstanding experts in the world, and they're speaking. And so I can see even the scientists, they are divided. Other people will. So many things that we saw, we heard or listened to people, experts speaking about this. So we were confused, and we were bringing the question to the doctors that are taking care and the infection department. And sometimes they seem to say the likelihood there's contribution to it. So because why I asked many, many questions. I asked several questions. I asked them, now, the fact that she had no COVID, she had no symptom, and now until when she got this vaccine, and normally, traditionally, we know that part of that, the virus is what they use for vaccine, but now they've changed a new technology, is it mRNA or so?
Yeah, we know very little about this vaccine.
About that. So, it should be a type, because I saw a documentary about the people that were involved and were saying how it will know that this is something that closer to the virus. And then, so now I'm saying, if I don't know why after taking the vaccine, then she's testing positive. I don't know. So what I were told is that the virus, they found out that yes, she has the virus. The COVID-19, that is their own, the result they told us. But the issue of either the vaccine contributed, they don't know. Then I asked the question, what is the vaccine doing in her body? Is it not supposed to fight against the virus? They say yes. Then the simple question as a layman is, then what is it doing? Why couldn't it protect her?
So many questions, Philip, and there are so many unknowns, but I will say, and we're out of time, but I will say that one thing that I do know, Jumai, is that you are a fighter and that you are very brave for coming forward, for doing interviews like this. I mean, the caution that people will exercise as a result of your story could save millions of lives. And for that, you're a hero. And I do know for sure that we will be praying for you. You are in our prayers. Philip Jumai, thank you.
Let me say before you go. We take vaccine virtually throughout our life, even right from childhood. We are not against vaccine. We appreciate all the medical personnels, or the physicians and all of. So, but in this case, sometimes, you know, people may make mistake because we're not perfect. And so if there's a mistake on the case of Jumai, please, we want to know what really happened to Jumai.
Yeah.
And probably it will also help other people. That's just our concern. That's the reason why we are, you know, coming out here, because we thank God she's here. One night we're told that she's dying, but somehow, as people of faith, we know that God intervened.
That's right. You are absolutely right about that. And we will be praying for you. And Philip, for sticking by her side and for being with her here, you're a hero as well. I mean, God has called you to tell your story, and we hope that you find the answers to those questions. And when you do, you have my number. Please let us know so that we can report on those answers.
You might want to say something in terms of the place of work.
Yeah, as of the time...
I have about 30 seconds. We got to go to break.
As of the time of the vaccine, it wasn't like, if I don't do it, I'll lose my job. I think this...
But when you are asked to go and do it because you are medical.
Yes, but they didn't put like, I will lose my job, like what you said the other time.
Okay, but the issue is that you were asked,
you're given an ultimatum rather than being able to make a choice after your own health, and it shouldn't be that way. And you're right. We're in America, and we should have those freedoms. You're right. I got to go. Philip Jumai, thank you so much. We really appreciate you being here. God bless you both.
Amen. Thank you.
Absolutely heartbreaking story for Jumai and Philip. You have to be able to make your own choices regarding what you put in your body. These mandates, this is tyrannical for somebody to force an injection, medicine that you don't want or that you don't need, into your body. And to watch the effects that it could have on people, the loss of legs, the loss of life, it's insane. All to feed a narrative. A narrative set up by the globalists, by the tyrants, who you can now step on quite physically. If you go to steponsocks.com, a great patriotic sponsor of this program, one of the founders used to be a medical doctor in New York, left a very comfortable career financially because she couldn't stand to see what was happening with the tyranny in our medical system. That inspired her to be a founder and an inventor at steponsocks.com. You can be assured that when you're doing business with Step on Socks or any sponsor on this program, that we hold dearly here, because we will not be bought. We will not be paid for. That's what really bothers these globalists and these fact checkers like Reuters and Newsweek, USA Today. They're coming after me with a vengeance and this platform in its entirety, because we're doing the work of God. And so are the people at Step on Socks. You can be assured of that. They have become personal friends of mine. And if you trust me when I say these people are patriots. Go to steponsocks.com right now. So many different globalists you can step on. I'm running out of time here. So many different versions of the Step on Socks, which I'm convinced will be in museums someday. Also, they sell silver at steponsocks.com and Second Amendment flags. Go to steponsocks.com right now. Realize huge discounts and get special treatment when you mention Stu Peters at steponsocks.com. The Stu Peters Show continues right now. Well, I don't know how much more of it I can stomach, but if you can stomach just a little bit more today, here's even more possible vaccine funny business. Sandy is a nurse at the University of Vermont Medical Center. Now, Sandy says that she has questioned at least 3 doctors about the huge amount of anomalies that they've encountered treating COVID patients. She says that she's seen at least 5 patients who, in her view, are 100% cases linked with the COVID vaccines. There's a young woman, a diabetic, for example, who was suddenly hospitalized with her first case of hyperglycemia in a decade. A man in his early 30s with cardiac issues out of nowhere. And then much weirder things. A 20-something with head-to-toe rashes like she's never seen before. A woman with circular rashes and bloated purple genitalia, not terribly unlike a female version of Nicki Minaj's cousin's friend. In Sandy's words, this isn't simply bad medicine, this is criminal. Now, just like our security guard from before, Sandy wants to blow the whistle, and we honor her bravery. Sandy, thank you so much for coming forward. We really appreciate it. We honor that.
Thank you, Stu. I think that right now the reason that I have decided to come forward is because there's a lot of talk in the media about vaccinating our children. And what I saw, and I want people to understand, when they talk about their doctors recommending the vaccine for them, they must understand that that nurses and doctors are governed by the CDC, just like in the military, a general gives orders and the people under them follow those directions. And nurses and doctors are so ingrained in this institution that they trust those institutions that are guiding them. And what I started seeing in January after the vaccines rolled out was so alarming. It was for the first time we started hearing things like we didn't know why they were being admitted. We didn't know what the diagnosis was. We didn't know what was causing these things. And to me, the people weren't even being asked if they were vaccinated. And you would have to kind of skirt around the whole issue to try to get that information from the patient, because for myself, it was like the elephant in the room. It was like, hello, like, could this be the vaccine? But if you even brought that to the attention of one of the doctors, and this might be like into the third day of we don't know what's going on and the labs are all out of whack. Like I said, just things we'd never seen before. If I actually went to the doctor and said, could this be the vaccine? You were just looked at like you were crazy. Like, it can't be the vaccine. The vaccine hasn't shown to cause any of these problems. And when I would say, but it's experimental. How do we know that it couldn't be the vaccine if we haven't had any studies done on the vaccine yet? And it was like one of those things that you weren't even allowed to talk about or even address. And so in talking with the woman in relationship to hypoglycemia, it was just kind of pushed, you know, to the side. And she was just there with this unusual severe headache and seizure. And it had to be caused by the hypoglycemia. We don't know. These were kind of the excuses we were getting.
So when you say that you don't think that this is just medical mistreatment, but you say that this is, that you believe that this is criminal, who is it that you're referring to that you believe is conducting criminal acts?
I believe it is the CDC. I believe that the CDC instructed our physicians to not look, that we are not allowed to look or to question people coming into the hospital in regards to the vaccine, because those are who instructed us. You know, when we open our emails every morning, those emails are coming directly down from the CDC.
And that part I totally understand. I guess my question is, these are medical providers. These are doctors. And what concerns me is that you, as a nurse, who, I mean, you are really the advocate for these patients. And when you, as a nurse, are going to a doctor and saying, could this be the vaccine? And the doctors are looking at you saying, you're nuts, or their eyes are saying that, and you're not allowed to ask a doctor about that. That's not the CDC doing that. That's these doctors doing that.
And I agree. You know, I feel if I can see these things happening, and because you can't even approach the patient to have that conversation with them. It's like I said, it's like one of those things you're not even allowed to mention. So I agree. If I can tell that something's wrong, and these are not normal cases, for the first time, they're not normal. And there's tons coming in the hospital. And to not actually be able to ask that question, I don't know where that comes from. To me, it is criminal. It's criminal to not be. I've asked doctors, have you reported this to Bayer's? I mean, this is clearly something we should be reporting to Bayer's. And it's just, you know, well, there's no indication that this is caused by the vaccine. It's like, well, good grief. I mean, the vaccine is new. And so it's absolutely astounding what's happening in the hospitals.
And now we know, you know, we've been told by this Harvard study that only 1% of actual vaccine adverse events are reported to the CDC monitored data collection website. And now we know why, or at least have a clearer picture, because doctors are refusing to report these as vaccine injuries or even acknowledge the fact that they could be vaccine injuries from what you're saying.
Absolutely. You know, the young male that I talked about, you know, he was like 33 years old. He came in with chest pain. He was in our ER for like 20 hours. They did a full cardiac workup on him. And he had three children, a one-year-old, a three-year-old, and a six-year-old. And he eventually was admitted. They ruled out everything cardiac, had no idea what was going on with him. But he had an elevated white count, which didn't correlate with something cardiac. But the thing that I feel was criminal is that in order for his young wife to come into the hospital to visit him, she was forced to get the vaccine. Now, here we have a male that I feel like, okay, he's been injured by this vaccine. They have three small children, and they're going to force his wife to get a vaccine so that she can come into the hospital to visit him. That's where I feel the criminality is we should know that this vaccine did not cause harm to him before insisting that his wife, who are responsible for three small children, to enter our hospital. That, to me, is the criminality, is for people not to speak up and say, could this be the vaccine? Because there was nothing else with this young man, and every one of his labs, he was in the ER for over 20 hours, CTs, MRIs, echocardiograms, every test that could be done, they could not figure out what was going on with this man. And if you were looking at the data that was coming out, it was a classic example of what was occurring with these vaccines. And that, to me, is unacceptable.
Which has been acknowledged by the FDA with a big, huge black box warning on these vaccine inserts, which is myocarditis. These things are causing serious issues. We reported earlier on today's program, teenage boys are suffering heart damage at six times the rate they would experience serious illness from COVID-19. I mean, I want to say that one more time. Teenage boys who have had this vaccine, ages 12 to 19, are suffering heart damage, that's serious, at six times the rate they experience serious illness from COVID-19. It's absolutely tragic. And then, you know, you talked about this, the swollen genitalia in a female, which is not unlike the male version of Nicki Minaj's cousin's friend or whoever that was that she said. And, you know, it's heroes like you that say, I don't really care about a job or a license. I mean, really, who's going to care about a job or a license when what you are seeing at minimum of just five, and you've asked at least three doctors about this, those numbers are going to be multiplied exponentially. Just wait until this antibody-dependent enhancement thing comes to fruition, which, by the way, Reuters and Newsweek and USA Today want to fact-check this program on, much like they wanted to fact-check the fact that, you know, doctors are mistreating patients. And now look, firsthand account of so many different people coming forward. These doctors are posting, in many cases, online how they are going to intend to mistreat unvaccinated people or people that choose not to wear masks. So if I choose to eat a double quarter pounder every day, am I supposed to just be exempt from any medical treatment? This is where we are today is seriously eye-popping. It's shocking. It's tragic. It's a travesty completely. I got about 30 seconds left, Sandy. Your final words.
Yeah, like I said, some of the rashes that we're seeing are things I've been a nurse for 30 years. I'm seeing things I have never witnessed as a nurse, even working in cancer. I'm seeing things that are just absolutely bizarre in the hospital. And again, it's just being overlooked that it's not even being, no questions are being asked, even did you get the vaccine? Yeah. You know, it's something you got to kind of skirt around and ask yourself. So. It's alarming.
And nobody cares to investigate any of it, which is the most alarming part. Sandy, thank you so much. God bless you for coming forward. We really appreciate it. You're a true hero. And that is the definition of hero. You probably could say have saved more lives during this interview than maybe you ever would in the hospital setting. So we certainly appreciate your work there and here. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Stu.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA.
When I got MyPillow, I'm asleep almost immediately. I stay asleep at night and I wake up more well-rested in the morning.
That's why I invented MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned.
I'm interrupting this commercial right now. Retailers have canceled MyPillow, and to thank you for your support, I'm going to pass the savings directly on to you.
Mike is offering the sale of the year. You will receive 50% off his Giza Dream Sheets. Just go to MyPillow.com, and you will receive a set for as low as $49.99 with promo code STU. Or call 800-262-2403 and be sure to use STU at checkout.
Well, the horror just continues to escalate. I mean, honestly, this is eye-popping right now. A lot of people are asking about the seasonal flu vaccine because of all the adverse events that we have seen. 14,925 people dead, over 700,000 adverse events reported as of September 10th to the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System monitored by the CDC. Jane Ruby is here, and she has an explosive breaking story here regarding these other vaccines. I'm just going to let you get right into it.
We are very concerned that seasonal flu shots are being loaded up as part of the bioweapon program, Stu. A day or two ago, a woman named Savannah Cortland walked into a Walgreens in Fresno, California, and she requested the seasonal flu shot. She was given an injection, she was given a card, and upon walking away, the nurse said to her, "Don't forget to come back for your second injection." And she said, "Why do I need that?" And she said, "Well, because that's what you need to be immunized to COVID-19. She said, "I didn't ask for the COVID-19. I signed my paperwork for regular flu." And they went and checked, and indeed they did give her the COVID injection. Now, you can say that that was an accident. First of all, if it is, I want people to understand that in their departments of health regulated by the state, that when a nurse or doctor gives a medication in error or any kind of entity, they have to report it. They have to fill out paperwork. Walgreens should have a policy on this. And they probably violated their own policy, but we're getting very concerned. And we think that a lot of the normal vaccines, or what we would call traditional childhood vaccines, may be being primed with the COVID-19 injection material. And we're very concerned about it, Stu.
So you mean mixing the two, like actually putting the COVID-19 mRNA death shot serum into the seasonal influenza B shot, like actually combining them is what you're suspecting?
Not sure if it's being combined or if it's being substituted for, because there is a push, and I know you feel it from a lot of the other guests that you have on. There's an intensity brewing to get these materials into everybody's arms.
Oh yeah, it's incessant. It's unbelievable.
And in addition to that, it kind of coincides with the fact that the FDA panel just approved, if you will, or recommended that the 5 to 11 year old group does get this injection, because Pfizer came out, of course, and said that they had robust findings for 5 to 11 year olds of, quote, safety and efficacy, but yet they haven't shown any data to underscore that. So Stu, you know what's coming next. The CDC is going to ramp up, make a recommendation, and then those lunatic parents that are out there who can't wait to jab their 5 to 11 year old are going to be lining up because they already got their 12 year olds injected. I can't begin to tell you. I've been warning about this for months now. They're coming for your babies. They're coming for your children. And this is a bioweapon of mass genocide. Stop with the kids.
Yeah. It's insane. And I know what else is coming next. A fact check from Reuters, which, by the way, I do want to say something here. I think it's very coincidental. I learned over the weekend that the chairman at Reuters, the guy who fact checks us, his outfit fact checks this program relentlessly. He's obsessed with Stu Peters over there at Reuters. The chairman of Reuters is on the board at Pfizer.
Of course. Of course he is. Of course he is. And let me share some other outrageous numbers with you. The CDC itself has now come out with a statement that teens are, watch this, 50% have 50% more cardiac events after these injections than with COVID, with any COVID infection.
Right.
And I want people to understand something. If you look at OpenVAERS, the new numbers are out for kids 0 to 18, because there have been about 300 or 400 kids under 5 for some reason, Stu, that have gotten these injections. I just want you to know, remember when I reported on the initial numbers for kids, it was 14 deaths in the United States? Well, that's more than doubled to 32 deaths we have on open VAERS, and a total of 25,000 children between 0 and 18 have now been injured with these injections. Also wanted to share with you that Eudrovigilance, which is the European equivalent of our VAERS, is now up to 24, almost 25,000 deaths and over two and a half million injuries. This encompasses everything in Europe. And I want to make one other announcement today, because I think it's really important. Because remember, as Florida goes, so goes the nation, right? Well, just out this morning, this is hot off the press, updated 9/16/21, Office of the Attorney General of the State of Florida, and I hope Governor DeSantis is listening. The document divides unvaccinated employees and vaccinated. And guess what? The unvaccinated, who are supposedly exposed to or close contact to someone with a positive COVID test, they have to quarantine, they have to contact HR, they have to wait 5 to 7 days. While they're quarantining, Stu, for the 14 days, they need to take that time out of their own vacation. Conversely, the fully vaccinated employees do not have to quarantine. And if they've had COVID only within the last 3 months, which I don't know where they're getting the science for that, also does not need to quarantine following exposure to a known COVID positive person. The unvaccinated have to get tested every 3 days, not for the vaccinated. So Governor DeSantis, if you're listening, our state is starting to discriminate. And I think that's in direct violation of the vaccine passport ban.
Yeah, I think so too. And there are a lot of questions about Florida. I'm still looking at SB 2006 that allows healthcare officials, healthcare workers, health department officials, and cops to chase you down, track you down, pin you to the ground, and force a needle into your skin, injecting your blood with anything that they want to, actually, because it doesn't
fully alive.
Yeah,
yep.
It's right there.
That law is fully alive.
Now, we have talked via text with Anthony Sabatini, who's a rep there, who says that he has new legislation that he wants to introduce. We've arranged and asked him to be on the show, yet he has not appeared, and the invitation is open. Of course, we want to know about any efforts that are being done there to reject that kind of language inside of law. Final words.
Well, Stu, let me give you a quick update on that. This will, if Sabatini puts this forward, it'll be his second attempt this year. And guess how it was defeated earlier this year? All the rhinos in the Florida legislature. Yeah. Take that to the bank when you go to the voting booth next time.
Yeah, that's right. Just because they have an R next to their name, and we've proven that on this program multiple times, does that mean that they are worthy of your vote? And by the way, we have to operate on the faith that the integrity to our elections is going to be restored, so that your vote actually counts. More information on that upcoming as well, because this Friday, the Arizona audit is going to be in. Between now and then, we'll talk with Wendy Rogers and everybody involved with that process. There's a lot of speculation surrounding that. Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? The deal that was signed by Fan there in Arizona, and I know that this is out of your wheelhouse, but you're an American.
And I'm
you
watching.
Care, and you definitely care as to whether or not your vote counts as well. Dr. Jean Ruby, shocking report there on this influenza thing. I hope that was an isolated incident and a mistake, but yes, be careful. Thank you for your report today. We appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
Well, I'm not a doctor and I'm not qualified to give you medical advice, but for Stu Peters, I can tell you I won't be taking any shots. I'll roll my dice with the seasonal influenza B. I'll roll the dice with this 99.987% survival rate of COVID-19, the world-ending plague, and all of the variants that come along with it before I'm going to get any shots. They're making mistakes like that, if it was a mistake at all. And who's policing these people? Well, I know one outfit that is the vaccine police. Go to vaccine-police.com. See all of the work on the ground, boots on the ground work that Christopher Key is doing and his wonderful outfit called the Vaccine Police. They're approaching and serving Nuremberg notifications on pharmacists. They're approaching and making aware hospital administrators, CEOs of healthcare systems. They're down at the border looking at all of these unvaccinated people pouring into our country. You've seen the aerial footage from drones that, by the way, the FAA said Fox had to take down out of the sky mid-broadcast while Tucker Carlson was live over there. I mean, this whole thing is all connected. And the Vaccine Police are on the ground helping to put it all in check and expose it all. You can see his tremendous work network over in Telegram, t.me/vaccinepolice, and also go to vaccine-police.com. I support it. I hope that you will as well. Go to vaccine-police.com. If you got $5, $10, $100, or $100 million, and you can spare it, please put it to where this work counts. This guy's got boots on the ground. I know that maybe you don't have time to. You don't know where to start. Christopher Key is doing it all, and he has demonstrated that with his actions. Go to vaccine-police.com, and please back him if you can. Go to vaccine-police.com. The Stu Peters Show continues with Deanna Lorraine right now. Well, whether it was a mistake or whether it was on purpose, we don't know. But Dr. Jane Ruby reported that the influenza B shot was replaced with the COVID-19 shot. We speculated that that was going to happen, but that's not the only mix-up. That's not the only way that these globalists, whoever they are, is trying to get this COVID-19 death serum into your bloodstream. Deanna Lorraine is here. She is the author of the best-selling book, Taking Back America. You can find that at deannalorraine.com. So how else are they going to try to inject me without my knowledge?
Well, you know that if they can't try to persuade you, and you get the vaccine on your own, then they're going to try to strong arm you, blackmail, and force you. And if that doesn't work and they can't force you, they will try to sneak it in without your knowledge. One way, like you just said, is that story where a teenage girl went to go get her annual flu shot. And the nurse said, oh, whoopsie, we actually gave you a vaccine instead, a COVID vaccine. Okay, so a big whoopsie there. And she acted like it was no big deal. Now what they're trying to do is sneak the COVID vaccine in your salads, right? So now they're trying to grow. I can't even believe we're talking about this right now. I can't believe this world we're living in, but they're trying to grow spinach and lettuce and other leafy greens with mRNA vaccine inside of those leaves so that you can just consume your salad and you can get your daily, your yearly, or now it's about probably three times a year, COVID vaccine in your salad. And I think it's really funny because when you read these articles, which you can look up, it's trending today, look up this vaccines in your salad situation, because they say in the article, you know, we know that it's a really hard subject, vaccines. And we know that some people have a really hard time. They're afraid of needles or they're this inconvenience in going to get your vaccine. Well, now we're going to make it possible for you to just get your vaccine in your salad. Like that's as if that is the reason why people are hesitant to get the vaccine and don't want the vaccine, just because I don't feel like going to a doctor or nurse or Walgreens, or because I'm afraid of needles. No, that's not the reason why most people do not want this BS vaccine. It's because we don't want it. It's harmful and we don't want that in our body.
So, I mean, speaking of not wanting something in your body.
Right.
If you, Deanna Lorraine, are sleeping and some dude puts something in your body without your permission, what do we call that? I mean, that's rape, right?
It's rape. And I've been saying this
so
all along, that the vaccine is like
rape. And now, unbeknownst to me, they're secretly tossing my salad. I mean, all of this is horrific.
Yeah. Well, it is. So imagine, yeah,
this
you're
is
going
assault.
To. The fact that it's even a possibility that I hadn't thought about, that they're going to put mRNA in salad, leafy greens, spinach. Okay, maybe some people might say, oh, that's a great idea. I'm going to go buy that on purpose, intentionally. But the fact that now that they could do that without you knowing is a whole level of scariness that, you know, we hadn't even thought of yet. Like this could just be another oopsie situation, like the girl that went to go get the flu shot. Oopsie, you went and got your vegetables today. And that batch happened to have the mRNA vaccine in it. I mean, can you see the problem here, Stu? This isn't going to end well.
No, it's not. I see a multitude of problems here. I don't know if you can tell by my face, but I'm absolutely shocked here that
I'm
you're
shocked
reporting
here too.
This, that this is actually happening. We've hypothesized about this. We've theorized about this. And of course, we were fact-checked about all of the ways that they were going to try to sneak this into your body to rape you, to assault you without your permission, to violate you, to get their serum into you. And we've speculated as to all the reasons why they want you to have this unknown substance inside of your body. The possibilities are endless, limitless, really.
Well, I think it's just so bizarre to me because, you know, they're firing people for not getting the vaccine. They're having students not be able to go to school unless they have the vaccine. I mean, they're tearing up our world unless they get the vaccine. But we have just shown Moderna last week just admitted that those who get the vaccine are twice as likely to get COVID, to get a breakthrough. I'm sure you've saw that study. Moderna just admitted that themselves. And now we're seeing, you know, even Pfizer said last week too, a couple of days ago, that when you get a third booster shot, you are protected for a whopping 12 days after you get that shot. 12 days, you're protected, whoop-de-doo. And then you go back to being less protected because it kills your immune system. So they're killing us over a vaccine that they're admitting time and time again that doesn't even work. It's so backwards, Stu. I mean, when are people going to get it that they're lying, they're gaslighting us, and this vaccine is so much more harmful than it does good?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah. And I will tell you this, if I have to stop eating salad, I will. I mean, I've already said that I'm not going to get this influenza B shot. I'm going to stay away from that, as far away from that as I possibly can. And now salads, fine.
Don't let them toss your salads, too.
They will not be tossing my salad. Anyway, I gotta go. Until tomorrow at this time, here's what's up to it, here's what's down to it, here's the any way you can get to it, here's to those that don't do it, maybe be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it, and here's to us who do it, because we're the ones that's used to it. Remember to fly low and avoid the radar. Don't let anybody toss your salad. One day they're gonna come for the car, and when they do, save the